From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This story starts online.
Before I start this video, I would like to put out a trigger warning.
Joseph McAndrew is a senior at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia.
I am non-binary, which means I am not male or female. I use they, them pronouns, so that's a little insight to who I am.
About a month ago, Joseph posted a video on Facebook railing against UArts professor Camille Paglia.
How dare Camille, and how dare the University of the Arts keep on tolerating what she's saying.
They were reacting to videos they'd found online of an interview Camille gave a few years ago.
They're college students, and they expect a mistake that they might make at a fraternity party, okay, and then they may regret 6 months later and a year later that somehow that this is ridiculous, right? If a real rape was committed, go friggin' report it. I mean, I think there are authentically transgender people, that is, people who literally do have originally a genetic issue. But I think it's a tiny minority of the world population. It's now become a fashion statement, as far as I can see.
Camille Paglia has long been a controversial academic. She's been publicly stating that she doesn't believe in date rape for over a decade. She identifies as transgender, but her views on transgender identity being based in genetics or biology don't sit well with everybody in the LGBTQ community. As a trans person, and as somebody who has survived sexual assault, Joseph was offended by what they heard on the video. Joseph didn't understand why their university, which they understood to be an inclusive place, would have a professor on staff who'd say things like that. They were also upset that she was scheduled to give a public talk about gender in Western art.
And I will not accept the fact that she's just able to work here willy-nilly and do lectures and be highlighted by our school when she says that.
So Joseph recorded this response video, which gathered thousands of views. Their objections spilled out beyond the internet, eventually erupting into a raucous protest and a petition calling for Camille Paglia to be fired. But why did it come to that? And how is what happened at UArts reflective of the fierce debates around divisive language and free speech on campuses across the country? Today on The Why, Sticks and Stones. Our producer, Alex Stern, looked into how this recent conflict at UArts escalated.
After seeing the videos, Joseph tries to get Camille's talk moved off campus. The university won't do that, but they do arrange for a talk back afterwards with a local trans activist, and the students are free to go to that and sort of digest what's been said at the event.
So the date rolls around, this talk actually happens. What happened, at the talk?
Joseph organized a protest that day. They got together with about 100 other students in the lobby of the building for about an hour beforehand.
And people made signs that just had, I believe trans people or I believe survivors. Some of Camille's quotes that go against survivors and trans people. And we just sat on the floor and we kind of just talked and existed.
Once the time rolls around for Camille's lecture to start, Joseph leaves their sign in the lobby. They decide that they want to go in and listen to what Camille has to say. They speak with the other protesters there too and say, if you want to come with me, please do. But we should just be quiet and respectful the whole time.
I, at least personally, was expressing how I was going to be 100% peaceful. And if that's not the way you roll, don't follow me. We have to respect her if we want to get respect from her.
When Camille is introduced,
I will now introduce Dr. Paglia.
Some of them do boo.
Well, let me tell you first a little bit about myself.
Camille starts giving her lecture. Things are mostly going okay. It's kind of your standard academic lecture.
It is the Venus of Willendorf that dates from the estimate.
And about 45 minutes in, she's talking about this ancient statue of Artemis, and the fire alarm goes off.
She's totally bound.
Somebody pulled it. We don't know who. Joseph says it wasn't them. It very well could have been one of the protesters, but some of the students stand up and they start yelling. Things sort of crest. They're yelling things in support of trans people and sexual assault survivors.
All history includes transgender people.
One of them actually screams at Camille. Again, Camille identifies as trans, and that's a slur also. So,
it should be noted.
Yeah. Joseph says that they don't agree with the fact that somebody said that, but they do get caught up in this, and Joseph does yell about sexual assault survivors as well.
Sexual assault survivors is not on the state. The alarm has activated. Until we find out what is causing the alarm, we're going to have to follow like we would with any fire drill. So we need to exit the building. Please follow the exits. Thank you.
The event is over, essentially. Everyone evacuates and the students keep protesting outside, but Camille doesn't get to finish her talk.
What does Camille think about all this?
She is more than happy to have people protest her ideas. She's very pro-free speech generally, but she's pretty unhappy with the fact that they pulled the fire alarm. She said that it created this, like, mob mentality.
It was a scene like something out of early 1930s Germany, right? And it is totally unacceptable on American college campuses. These are complex issues that should be freedom of thought and speech on. I want not to have people believe that they can patrol the world, okay, and like Nazis or fascists, okay, suppress all debate about the issues that they have raised.
And what about the talkback? Did that ever happen?
Yeah, the talkback eventually happened.
We were like, how do we express our feelings?
And that's where the students started to talk about asking for Camille to be fired. Joseph said that they talked about it actually as more of like a negotiating tactic.
Go for the gusto and work your way back so your lesser demands don't seem that big.
That they knew that they weren't going to be able to get her fired because she had tenure, but that, you know, if they asked for something big like this, it would help them get some of their smaller asks, help them get what they ultimately wanted.
And what do they want?
It's a little unclear. Joseph has emphasized that they just want like a dialogue about some of the things that Camille has said. But at this point, you know, Joseph is one of a bunch of students who are protesting Camille. Everybody's upset. They aren't really a united voice. A few days after the talkback, another student activist put together a petition with a bunch of requests. They want the university to sit down with trans students and survivors of sexual assault to hear about how they can best support them moving forward. They ask that there be no more public events where Camille can speak and express her views, and they do ask for her to be fired and for a queer person of color to be hired in her stead.
Did a lot of people sign the petition?
Yeah, at this point, over 1,200 people, almost 1,300 people have signed it. That includes Joseph. Joseph says they personally didn't want Camille fired, but that they supported other action items on this list. But now Joseph says that they regret that there was even a petition in the first place.
I honestly wish that there wasn't a petition. Having a call for her to be fired looks 100% like we're just like, make sure she can't speak.
The students have been getting a lot of attention, like from the media, based on the fact that they called for a professor to be fired, even though Joseph says it like wasn't their ultimate goal. And now Joseph kind of feels like the focus got shifted in a way that didn't really help their case.
So, Alex, how did the university handle this?
University of the Arts has been consistently pro-free speech this entire time. I did speak with their president, David Yeager. He actually said he was happy to hear that the protest was happening in the first place.
I'm so happy that our students are taking a particular opinion and voicing it.
You know, he's the president of a university that wants open dialogue. So he was like, great, people are talking about an issue. Since the protest, the president has emailed campus a few times, always with the message that freedom of expression is important for faculty and for students.
We are a supportive community committed to individual and artistic integrity and inclusion.
It certainly doesn't seem like they have any plans to fire Camille, but they have met with some of the protesters, including Joseph, to hear them out. And Joseph seems pretty satisfied with that outcome, feels like they've been heard and they have been able to have some of that dialogue that they were looking for. You know, we did also want to get a little bit more of a bigger perspective on this. So we spoke with Jonathan Zimmerman. He's a history professor at the University of Pennsylvania who's written about free speech on college campuses. And he thought that the university responded really well.
I work at a university and we don't produce cars and widgets. We're different. We produce something else. We produce something called ideas. And our method for producing ideas is maximal dialogue. That's the founding purpose of academic freedom in this country.
So, Alex, it seems like this is happening a lot around the country. You know, there were protests at Yale, at Carleton College, at Evergreen State, in Oregon. What's going on here?
I think at the bottom of this particular incident at UArts was a really emotional response. Joseph saw these videos that offended them. They got upset. They felt like they had to take action. They brought in other people who were also upset, and things accelerated. You know, you go from like a peaceful protest to a fire alarm being pulled so a professor can't speak to a petition that calls for her to be fired because of her opinions, which is a big deal no matter how painful those opinions felt.
I will understand that people feel their identities under attack and at risk. I want to acknowledge that. I understand why people were hurt by Camille Paglia's words.
Jonathan Zimmerman, the Penn professor we spoke with, says that emotions are essentially hard to argue with and tend to shut the conversation down because all you can really say back is like, oh, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. And if you start to use that sort of subjective way of arguing, you can't really have a conversation.
Once you make hurt the rubric, once you make hurt the criteria for what you're going to allow, you will eventually allow nothing.
Obviously, Jonathan isn't endorsing transphobia or hate speech or anything like that, but he also says that when you start to silence people, when you call for them to be fired, when you interrupt the presentation that they're giving and make it so they can't finish, you end up on a slippery slope.
Well, I think what's at stake is just a narrowing of our intellectual purview. I don't want to be surrounded entirely by people that agree with me. And I think increasingly at places like my institution, I am.
He says it's better when we can actually hash out these ideas in the light of day.
All right, Alex, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.